2, 1, begin transmission.
Well, guten Morgen. Guten Morgen. Kinder, meine Messer ist rot mit Blut. It's 1930 UTC, so it's time for another episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of this awesomeness. And once again, I'm just randomly walking through forests, looking for, you know, whatever I can find for no reason other than to do it. Well, that's not entirely true. One of the main reasons I do this is because it will not be long before I cannot do this due to winter setting in. So I'm trying to get my big outdoor fix in before I have to stay locked up in my house for 6 months. So anyway, I actually wasn't going to come here. I won't tell you where I am. Let's see if you can figure it out. And the only reason I came here is because the other places I usually go were jam-packed full of people who apparently are thinking the same thing I am and need to get out of the house before winter sets in. So I'm just walking around looking for dudes and stuff. You know, nothing too out of the ordinary. Yeah, so what are we going to talk about today? Well, I was going to try to hold back, but I don't know if I can. You know, I've had a couple days to think about it. And so now I will give you my review of the new version of Rocky Horror, which apparently they are calling the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again. I can do without the subtitle. That doesn't make any sense. I think they just felt like they needed to throw Time Warp in there to attract the few people who know the Time Warp but don't know the show. Yes, that does happen. First of all, I'm not sure where to start other than to say that, yeah, I liked it. I'll even go so far as to say I loved it. Just because, you know, it's a new imagining of a classic story. And so, it was very updated. And when it first started, the first obvious change was that, I don't know, if you've seen the movie, you know that the film starts with just that big pair of lips singing the song Science Fiction as the credits roll. And they didn't do that. Instead, they actually had a Transylvanian-style usherette singing the song, and it was kind of a big production number, and she sang the song while, you know, Rocky Horror fans filed into a theater, which was kind of cool because they used that later. And there's sort of that little framing device. Outside of the framing device is directly in the film itself. So, okay, that was kind of cool. I thought it was a little bit cheesy, that opening number. But, I mean, come on, it's Rocky Horror. It better be some kind of cheesy. But it was pretty good. It was cool. It was eye candy. It was beautiful. The whole thing was beautiful. Nice, beautiful sets. Not quite as stark as in the movie. Richer sets. Colorful. And detailed. Highly detailed. I loved the costumes. The costuming was brilliant. Now, of course, you know, Brad and Janet, they were nothing special, because all you gotta do is put him in a tux and her in her little skirt suit. But the rest of the costumes were fan-freaking-tastic. What's this noise over here? All these birds are acting weird. Why are all these birds acting weird? Yes, the costumes were spectacular. Oh, truly eye candy. Good stuff. The Transylvanian conventionalists, or the conventioneers, I guess you call them. Oh, totally maxed out. Modern, but weird. Also sort of punk, but also sort of spandex hair rocker. Just sort of hitting all the tropes. It was pretty good. I like the costumes. Now, one thing you need to know before watching this, though, is that they made a big, big choice and made a big, big change. And that is the character of Dr. Frankenfurter is not played by a man. It is played by a woman. Which, you know, that's fine. The part was played by a woman named Laverne Cox. And frankly, she crushed it. Knocked it out of the park. It was great. It was a little of the original Tim Curry, and it was a little of her own new thing, and it was kind of actually very cool. The one thing that I didn't like about that, however, is it sort of hides sort of one of the main themes of Rocky Horror, and that is the gayness. I mean, you make Frank a woman, and now he's not this weird guy anymore. Now she's just this chick who you don't pick up on any of the sexuality. It's bizarre, but it's good. And I can understand why they did this, the producers. And mostly because, I mean, come on, this thing is going to be aired on Fox. And it's going to be aired at, you know, in prime time. It's 7:00 in the evening. So, yeah, they had to tone it down a little bit so it could get a rating of TV 14 DLSFV. Yeah, this is down from an R-rated movie. And the funny thing is why is the movie R-rated? There's only one bad word in the entire film. And to me, it's kind of a chicken way out, the coward's way out. But I have to kind of forgive it just because it was a good show. It was pretty good. I have to say I kind of liked it. Although, when I was watching the opening credits and I found out that Janet Weiss was going to be played by Victoria Justice, I sort of reeled back and said, oh no, this is going to be terrible. But I watched it, and the funny thing is I kind of like Victoria Justice. I like the way she looks. You know, she's a cutie. But, you know, she's Disney progeny. She's from that horrible school of overacting for children. And that's the problem with some of these Disney kids. When they grow up, they're terrible actors and they can't get work because they can't actually act. Well, did Victoria Justice sort of overact the part? Yeah, she kind of did. But the truth of the matter is, that works for Rocky Horror. In that character, especially. So, I thought, I had to say, Victoria Justice nailed it. She was the perfect new Janet Weiss, even though she wasn't blonde, like Janet's blonde, supposedly. She was great. And she was very hot, too. I liked it. It was pretty good. The guy who played Riff Raff was pretty good. I thought he was funny. He brought a couple new twists to it, and I didn't catch his name. I feel terrible now. I can't remember who it was, but he was pretty good. He was pretty good. Let's see. Another strange choice was Adam Lambert as Eddie, the part originally played by Meatloaf. Now, Adam Lambert, he can sing, and he's pretty. But there was something about his interpretation of Eddie that it kind of didn't work for me. He was good, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have quite the same energy. And I don't know, it's hard for me to put my finger on what I didn't like about it. Maybe because Eddie's supposed to be kind of a screw-up and a scumbag, and I don't know if Adam Lambert really... He was a little bit too good. And in fact, in watching this, I thought, you know what would have been better? They should have had Adam Lambert as Dr. Frank. I mean, come on. It's an obvious choice. He would have been perfect. But then again, we would have had a male, and then we would have had gay implications that, well, we can't show that on Fox. So, it was... He was good, but I could have seen that him as being more intense. And you know what the funny thing is? I don't actually think it was his fault. I have a feeling that he was directed. I don't know why I got that, but it was all right. He was, and I'm not saying he was bad or anything like that. It's just, you know, I want to see better and better. If somebody's going to remake something, I'm going to see better. He was perfectly fine. Don't get me wrong. And then we come to Magenta and Columbia. Now, I don't remember who played Columbia, but she sort of played it as this weird Valley Girl type of character that was a little bit too indifferent, and it kind of... Her energy was down. Her energy was much lower than the characters around her. And for that reason, I think it didn't quite work. She was better towards the end. But, then there's Magenta. And Magenta was played by Christina Milian, who is, you know, trying to make her second comeback. And the funny thing is I kind of like her, but I don't think she was a very good Magenta. You know, it seems to me like she did her research by watching the movie, and she just sort of did the same stuff. I don't really feel like she brought anything to it, except for her hotness, you know. But then again, when I say this, this is another one of those things where I don't think she was actually bad. I just feel like she didn't bring anything new and exciting to this when she could have. There was a couple parts where she did some good stuff, but it was more direction, stage type direction. And that was the funny thing about this version of Rocky Horror, and that is the script that they used was based on the screenplay. And oh my god, I can see a giant marmot. He's way out there though. What a fatty. Or is that two marmots sitting close together? Oh my god, no, that is one huge marmot. Good lord. Looks like a freaking basset hound from here. He's massive. Look at that chubby chubmot. He's a land seal. Well, I win. I win for spotting the mot. He's chubby. Okay, the script. Very obviously based on the screenplay, the original screenplay, not the original stage script or anything, but very faithful to it. They did add a few things here and there, little inside jokes just for the people who are hardcore fans. For example, Columbia makes a comment about Meatloaf during the dinner scene. And as I mentioned before, the actor Meatloaf My musician Meatloaf. Well, actor now. I saw him on House a couple days ago. He was the original Eddie. And so there was a couple of these nods to the audience, which I appreciated, because you have to recognize the audience in this show because the audience plays such a huge part. And I should mention that they did throw in a few things that were pretty cool, I thought, all things considered. If you remember me talking about the beginning of the movie, they showed a bunch of people going into a theater to watch Rocky Horror. And that was kind of cool, because during the movie then, during some of the most classic and iconic audience participation moments, they would cut away from the movie and show, quote, the audience, end quote, the audience that went into the theater at the beginning of the movie. And they would say something, or they would throw the toilet paper, or, you know, get out their lighters. And they cutting back from that, and that was kind of cool. I was wondering how they were going to do that. If you remember me talking about this days ago, over a week ago, you'll remember me saying, you can't have this movie without the audience. And so that's what they did. They had a fake little audience watching the movie. And it was cute. It was pretty good. The other thing that I liked was that even though they used the screenplay as a script, they threw in a lot of the stage elements. Like during the Time Warp and all the other Transylvanian convention scenes, they had the band on the floor. You know, so the music wasn't coming from nowhere. There was actually a band at this convention playing. And you can see the band, and they actually are playing. And, okay, that was pretty cool. I like that a lot. And that's common in theater productions of Rocky Horror. You know, make the band part of the show, and put them on stage instead of the orchestra pit, and dress them up like the rest of the Transylvanians. So this new film version was actually pretty cool this way, because it gave a nod to its stage origins, and I thought, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's see, a couple more things. Here was another odd choice, I thought. And that was, they had Ben Vereen playing Dr. Scott. And first of all, yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, it's Ben Vereen. You're not going to go wrong, right? So he was Dr. Scott. But the weird part of this is isn't Ben Vereen a dancer? You know, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but it seems to me that Ben Vereen is a dancer of some sort. And so what do they do with Ben Vereen, the world famous dancer? That's right. They made him the character who's in a wheelchair and doesn't dance. Okay. Maybe it's a funny and ironic choice, directorially speaking. I don't know. He was good, but it's hard not to be good as Dr. Scott. I mean, you can't screw it up. You're rolling around in a wheelchair. All right. Here's the weird part. It turns out that, yes, they did use Tim Curry. Now, if you'll remember, Tim Curry originally played Dr. Frank N. Furter in the movie. And I'm not sure, but I can't remember exactly. I would have to look this up. I think Tim Curry was also the original Frank on stage. I'm not sure why I think that. This wind is getting bad, isn't it? You might have to look that up, so don't quote me on that. But I think that's right. Regardless, so Tim Curry as the criminologist / narrator, and yeah, I want to say he was good, but he was actually weird, and I don't know what's up with Tim Curry. I haven't seen him recently, but he sort of looked a little bit messed up, like maybe he wasn't in the best of health. And so that's why they gave him this part where he just doesn't do anything except sit behind a desk. And I hate to speculate, but he, I don't know, maybe... I'm going to have to look up what's going on with Tim Curry. Because maybe he had a stroke or a heart attack or something. And so it was kind of weird, but I really appreciated them including Tim Curry. Because, I mean, come on, he's... If, in fact, he was the original Frank on stage and in the movie, you're going to have to put him in the remake of just out of respect. You know, you got to give people... You got to give original actors cameos in any remake. That's just sort of the rule, especially with such an iconic part. I mean, that's what Tim Curry is known for throughout the world. You say Tim Curry and everybody goes, oh, Frank. Okay. So, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It's the law. It's such an iconic part. Such an iconic actor. Yeah, I'm kind of funny they didn't stick Susan Sarandon in it. Yeah, Susan Sarandon was the original Janet. And anyway. All things told, I loved it. It was great. The updates on the costumes, the stage. Oh, and yeah, speaking of the stage, you know, they sort of ran it as a stage show. Meaning that even though this was obviously a film, it looked like the sets they built, they didn't build separate sets. They built, you know, two sets like you would on a stage. And they used it that way. So it was very stage influenced. And I liked that. There's a couple parts where it obviously was, you know, it was movie influenced. Namely, when Eddie shows up, he comes crashing through a giant window on his motorcycle. And so, although it didn't happen like that in the movie exactly, it was still pretty cool. I mean, cool enough. All right, what are we doing? Let's go home. In 3, 2, 1, 0. And here we are. Back in my house. Actually, I'm just not back in my house. I'm in the garage. Close my car door. I just want to check my mail real quick. See if I got any mail in the mailbox. One thing. And there's my kitty in the window. Hi, Pippa. She's waving at us. Hello. All right, so let's close the garage door and go back inside here. And here's my kitty. Who's a good baby? Oh, yeah, you're a good baby, huh? Yeah, it's a good baby. Okay. So anyway, getting back to... cats running around. Rocky Horror. If I can find any fault in this new version of Rocky Horror, I would say that I can't really find fault so much as there was a couple of things that I didn't like. And this is just my opinion. And if you've never seen the original movie, or if you've never seen it on stage, this might not bother you at all because you wouldn't notice it. And the thing of it is, you know, you get all these new people in these old roles. And when they sing the songs, they're obviously going to sing them a little bit differently than the original performers. So once you rearrange a song for a particular performer's voice, and once you sort of update a song so that it, you know, it's being played a little bit differently, things in the music get changed. And so there was a couple of the songs that I felt like they didn't have the same energy as in the film, just because they were sung a little bit differently. The melodies were changed just a little bit to fit individual performers' voices and stuff like that. And so, how do I describe this? So as I was watching it and, you know, watching these songs that I know very, very well, it seemed to me like there was, because the songs weren't hitting the same high points, the dynamics, and I don't mean the musical dynamics, I mean the energy dynamics of the songs weren't quite there for me at times. I'm not saying always, this was just a couple of points in a couple of songs where I felt like, okay, this is a very climactic point of this song. You need to punch this and you need to drive this into the people's brains. And they didn't quite do it. You know, and it's sort of glossed over. You know, there's some important points to make and they just sort of glide over them like, you know, it's nothing. And I thought, now that's not really the way to do that. You need to punch that. You need to hit that particular line. But, you know, that's just a directorial choice, and, you know, I suppose they can do whatever they want, and when, on the day that I direct Rocky Horror, I can do all the things that I want to do. So, all in all, I have to say that it was great. It was a little toned down, you know, it's kind of the Fox white suburban teenage dumb kids, so they could... Here's where I'm going with this. I'm sorry. Now that we have this new revival of Rocky Horror, and we have it during this time of, oh, musical theater and show choirs are so hot. You know, we have the TV show Glee, and we have movies like Pitch Perfect, and we have all this a cappella and singing, and everybody loves to do high school musicals. I have a terrible feeling that we're now going to start seeing Rocky Horror, or Rocky Horror Jr., being... performed at high schools, which means all the high school kids are going to do it, which means all of their little brothers and sisters are going to be doing the time warp for their school talent shows in junior high and in elementary school. Don't ask. I lived through it once. I know what I'm talking about. This might actually be a good thing, though, because if all of the kids today have a new interest in Rocky Horror, that means that somebody with a theater will think, oh my gosh, Rocky Horror's popular again. I should start showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight in my movie theater, which would be great for me because then I can go to Rocky Horror and have, you know, a ridiculously obnoxious and fun time. So, yeah, if you don't know, there are junior versions of famous musicals, like all the musicals that you see being performed by high schools, classics like Guys and Dolls. They're not really performing Guys and Dolls, they're performing Guys and Dolls Junior, a bowdlerized version that's appropriate for high school kids. Same with Beauty and the Beast and Les Mis and all this stuff. When you see the high school version, you're not getting the pure product. Don't let this happen to Rocky Horror. I hope it does not. So we can only hope that musical directors at schools, high schools across America, don't get the fresh idea to do Rocky Horror. I would hate to see a high school version of it. If it comes back to any of my theaters here in town, I will go see it. Because I do love seeing stuff on stage. But I digress. Because I'm running out of time, and it's about time for me to say something like, you've been listening to the Dubious Rocky Horror Review Committee that is chaired by me. My name is Tobe, and you can hear a show just like this, or at least closely related to it, every day at 19:30, right here on Anon Radio. My time is up. I gotta go. Tune in tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
PP